This Week in Agriculture is a production of the Red River Farm Network. With a look at the markets, I'm Jamie Dickerman. USDA's weekly export sales report, which was delayed one day because of the President's Day holiday, shows corn export sales during the week ending February 13th, 1.45 million metric tons, 27% less than the previous week, 12% less than the four-week average. Combined old and new crop soybean export sales of 500,000 metric tons, substantially more than the previous week, but 21% less than the four-week average. Combined old and new crop wheat stocks of 631,000 tons, 4% more than the previous week, 41% more than the four-week average. Martinson Ag Risk Management President Randy Martinson says with lack of fresh news, grain traders continuing to chase the headlines.
What's surprising is that, you know, you're looking at the largest crop ever coming out of Brazil, and soybeans are the market that's trading with the best gains so far this week. And That kind of maybe leads a little bit to the idea that, you know, demand is really the big driver right now, and there's hints of demand coming in for the U.S. for our products at this point.
Money flow is also a factor.
You know, and I think it's a combination of both. I think right now it's the money movement because we don't see the demand, or we haven't seen it yet. It's just been talk of it. But a lot of countries now, when they started talking about the retaliation tariffs, and there are a lot of companies or a lot of countries are now talking about coming in and buying more U.S. ag products to kind of even up that trade imbalance that we've been seeing.
Comstock Investments market analyst Joe Camp says the cattle market's seeing some short covering.
We have the delivery period open for live cattle is topical as well, related to what's going on with March grain futures. February's in delivery, and whether it's the February that actually is heading towards expiration at the end of the month or the April that will be up next, the April is discounted by a couple, $2 or $3 to the front month, and that front month contract has not converged at all, it would seem, towards the cash market. Instead, maybe some weakening of the cash towards the futures.
USDA weekly export sales report for the week ending February 14th showing net beef sales of 21,500 metric tons. That's 64% more than the previous week, 35% more than the four-week average. Beef shipments were down 5% from the previous week. Net pork sales of 25,600 metric tons, 3% more than the previous week, but 27% less than the four-week average. Pork shipments are down 4% from the previous week at 30,000 metric tons. U.S. Class 1 railroads originating 25,500 grain carloads during the week ending February 8th, unchanged from the previous week, 2% less than a year ago. The average March secondary railcar bids offers $600 above tariff, 406 more than the previous week, 229 more than last year. Barged grain movement during the week ending February 15th, totaling 670,500 tons. It's 8% more than the previous week, 25% more than last year. The rate to ship a metric ton of grain from the Gulf to Japan was 46.25, up 2% from the previous week. The rate from the Pacific Northwest to Japan, $27 per metric ton, up 1% from the previous week. As the 2025 planting season approaches, U.S. farmers expected to shift a significant portion of acreage to corn, driven by strong prices and demand. According to a report from CoBank, corn prices have been boosted by tight global stocks, strong export demand, and record ethanol production, making it the most profitable option for many farmers. The trend is expected to reduce acreage for competing crops like soybeans and spring wheat. The report projects U.S. corn acreage will increase by 4.2% to 94.5 million acres. However, potential trade disputes with Canada and Mexico could pose risks to this increase, as trade disruptions may weaken demand for U.S. corn. Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Jamie Dickerman on the Red River Farm Network.
I farm with my brother and my dad. We struggled for years to get along. Communication was bad, arguments were common, and I dreaded going to work every day. A change had to happen. We brought in a third party to help us improve communication and focus on solving problems instead of blaming each other. We also realized that our personalities and communication styles are different, and that's okay.
You add the value to North Dakota agriculture. This effort is associated with North Dakota State Suicide Prevention Program.
From the Northern Plains to South America, World Weather Incorporated senior meteorologist Drew Lerner is your trusted source for agricultural weather.
Moving into the region from the northwest, and this high pressure system will dominate the region as we go forward through the evening and overnight tonight. It will bring much colder temperatures into the region as well. It'll be rather nippy in the morning. We expect snow to begin to evolve across portions of the region. This will begin as that high pressure system.
Drew Lerner, only on the Red River Farm Network.
With a look at farm news this week in agriculture, I'm Jamie Dickerman on the Red River Farm Network. Senate Republicans pushing through a $340 billion budget framework after an all-night session, advancing a plan that funds border security and mass deportation efforts. The measure passing largely along party lines, 52 to 48, with all Democrats and one Republican, Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky, voting against it. Senator Kevin Cramer talked about how it'll be paid for.
It unleashes more of the minerals and the energy assets that the federal government owns and the American people own, and so it's very narrow. We expect the House will do their big bill hopefully next week.
Cramer said he's hopeful to get some good solid tax policy with this legislation.
When I think of farm country, I think of the bonus depreciation, the ability for small businesses to depreciate the equipment that they purchase in the year that they purchase it. And these are huge, and by the way, research and development tax credit, which is also very important to the advancement of technologies in agriculture and other manufacturing. And so, there's still a lot of work to do, but last night was a historic first step.
The government workforce reduction is making headlines on a daily basis. Minnesota Senator Tina Smith said efficiencies can be made in government, but feels President Trump is taking a slash and burn approach.
The president isn't the king. He doesn't just get to make the law. His job is to implement the law, and Congress passes laws. And, you know, I work on laws all the time that I'm representing my constituents when I write those bills and when we get those bills passed. And as you know, I can hardly point to a thing that's happened in agriculture that hasn't had bipartisan support. This typically hasn't been a partisan thing. It has always been like, what do we need to do to help make sure that farming and agriculture and food and energy work for the people that are doing the work.
The Heritage Foundation's Project 2025 hopes to reshape government. The initiative calls for cuts to agriculture spending, including crop insurance, the ARC PLC programs, and the sugar program.
During the campaign, the president said, I have nothing to do with this Project 2025, package of agenda. And yet, the guy who wrote it is now running the Office of Management and Budget, which is the agency that is responsible basically for the fiscal policy of the Trump administration. And you can see time after time after time the things that they proposed in Project 2025 being presented as the next thing that the administration wants to do. So it does feel a bit like a bait and switch, I think, to a lot of folks who were paying attention to that during the campaign.
The White House efforts to reduce the government workforce has hit close to home. Minnesota Wheat Executive Director Brian Sorensen said the small grain industry will feel the impact.
The Cereal Disease Lab, it's an ARS USDA facility that's office down at St. Paul campus of U of M. They lost four full-time researchers out of about seven. So it's a tremendous impact on them. And, what we're trying to help people understand is with a crop like wheat, it really needs long-term research. It needs that commitment long-term in order to continue to fight the crop diseases and the issues that really face production of wheat and keeping it a viable crop in the future.
Most wheat growers remember the devastation seen with the scab epidemic in the 1990s. Sorensen said this research is a food security issue.
It's really important for really the welfare of agriculture and really our economy is to keep agriculture and wheat production viable as a crop for the future.
USDA is rescinding the termination notices it previously delivered to some employees working on the federal response to the avian influenza. Politico reporting 25% of the National Animal Health Laboratory Network employees had lost their jobs. Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Jamie Dickerman on the Red River Farm Network.
Selecting the right multi-peril crop insurance policy and hail coverage are big decisions. Thankfully, the team at Ag Country Farm Credit Services can help you find the right fit for your farming needs. The specialists at Ag Country know agriculture and will utilize their exclusive Optimum tool to save you time and protect your bottom line. Contact your local Ag Country office today to get started. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender and provider.
Don't miss the dry bean scene every Friday at 12:35 on the Red River Farm Network. Specialty crop markets are special and require more digging than corn, soybeans, and wheat. We do that digging by talking with numerous crop scouts, growers, and processors in the North Harvest region or wherever beans that affect local markets are grown. So follow the dry bean scene every Friday at 12:35 on this Red River Farm Network station. The dry bean scene, brought to you by the North Harvest Bean Growers Association. With a look at weather this week in agriculture, I'm Randy Conan. Extreme cold that had been impacting the northern plains finally exiting the region, and we'll see actually unusual warming next week. World Weather Incorporated says the warm air will last long enough to erode the snow cover, and the cold air is expected to return during the first week of March, but not as cold as what we've recently seen. And little to no precipitation is expected through next Tuesday, with some occasional snow possible later in the week, beginning Wednesday, March 5th. Farmers in northern Argentina facing hotter, drier conditions over the next 10 days, reversing recent moisture improvements and increasing stress on the crops and livestock. Meanwhile, central Argentina's moisture remains stable, though drier and warmer weather is expected over the coming days. In the far south, much-needed rain is in the forecast, offering relief to the stressed crops. In Brazil, limited rainfall over the next week will lead to dry conditions for northern Sao Paulo. However, good conditions for soybean harvest and the safrinha crop planting are expected. Wetter conditions will return to center-west Brazil later over the weekend and potentially slowing soybean harvest and delaying the safrinha corn planting. Rainfall in southern Brazil expected to be scarce in the short term, but mid to late week could bring moisture to help replenish some of that topsoil. February is the month that spring crop insurance baselines are set. Van Onen Company President Jim Emter says seeing the grains holding firm through the last 2 weeks of February actually is a little bit unusual.
And the bright side is usually the last 2 weeks of February we tend to see fall off with that crop insurance price. So again, you know, we tend to see seasonal pressure for the corn and wheat markets at the end of February into March, and then tend to pick back up on some rally potential thereafter. And we're just kind of fighting right through that seasonal pressure. So far, that's encouraging to see on the corn and wheat market.
South American weather is the price driver for the soybeans, and Russia-Ukraine should be driving the wheat.
Beans should be the laggard here, but, you know, between the corn and wheat market and wheat right now, it's just a matter of what happens on this Russia-Ukraine front. We know that if resolve happens quickly, we can get more production in the pipeline. But if things escalate, that's when you start seeing some price action come in there. And as cold as the temperatures are right now, to see wheat step up a little bit, this is seasonally what should happen during this time with some cold temperatures around.
Former CEO of the National Corn Growers Association, John Doggett, spent more than three decades working for several agricultural trade groups on policy issues important to U.S. farmers and ranchers. When looking at the development of climate-smart agriculture, he thought the U.S. agriculture would be ahead of its current development pace.
Well, I think we could be a lot further along. And I look back at my career in working on climate change issues in Washington, D.C. for farmers and ranchers. I was the lead lobbyist on climate issues with the American Farm Bureau back in the 90s. We wasted 25, 30 years arguing about things that weren't really getting us to the point where we could do what we need to do. The environmental community didn't understand agriculture, and agriculture felt threatened by some of the things that were coming down the pike.
If the money is there and more farmers are interested in it, why doesn't climate change, smart ag continue developing?
It's trying to get to a farm bill. And, you know, when you try to get to a farm bill, you got to find the money. And there's money in that pot. But I think that's a different pot. That climate smart money, that is a five-year program, now in the first year, that will help U.S. agriculture make the transition even more efficient production. And we've been doing that for eons, but this is an opportunity to take some money and get a little further along.
And that's a look at weather this week in agriculture. I'm Randy Conan.
You're protected and appreciated. Irie Insurance.
Hi, this is Bethany Rentz, crop insurance agent with Irie Insurance. We've been protecting revenue and preserving equity for over 40 years. We provide a breakdown for farm programs such as the Farm Bill and Farm Safety Net. Partner with us to choose the right insurance coverage for your farm. Call us today to meet with an Irie Insurance agent to make your 2025 crop insurance elections prior to March 15th. Visit irieins.com. Irie Insurance is an equal opportunity provider.
The Red River Farm Network is reporting on the happenings in Bismarck with the North Dakota Legislative Report. Each Friday morning at 6:37, you'll hear from lawmakers and ag leaders. This special coverage made possible by NDFB, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, North Dakota Grain Growers Association, Northern Pulse Growers Association, North Dakota Farmers Union, and the North Dakota Corn Growers Association. The North Dakota Legislative Report, Fridays on the Red River Farm Network.